Well, hello once again, and welcome to Reality TV. Now, I am going to share some bittersweet news, or perhaps a reminder, that this is my second to last episode. Next month, I'm going to be recording my last Reality TV episode, but I'm going to keep this podcast feed, this RSS feed, alive so you can listen back to these anytime you'd like, and I may want to come back. I may have a come to Jesus moment. I may grow out of this crazy life stage that I'm in right now. And maybe I'll just want to record a fun episode here or there to fill you in why I am really forced to wrap up this podcast that I started 4 years ago. My life has just really changed. I have two middle schoolers now, which require a lot of time, but in different ways. Those of you who have toddlers or elementary school kids, you know what they say, the only constant is change. And although they're in school and they don't need you as much, they really do. So that's one thing. But also, one of my kids, my son, has some significant health issues that is pretty time consuming. Lots of doctor's appointments and checking in with different specialists and hospital visits every month. My dad passed away last year, and I really am just realizing that the time I have with my mom may be limited. She's nearing 80 years old. She lives just a couple blocks away. And there are times when I go 2 weeks without seeing her, which is absolutely crazy. And I just want to make sure that I'm spending as much time with the people that I love as much as I can. And life is just nuts right now as it is. But, you know, things may change. I'm always going to be around. I'm keeping the Facebook, or actually, you know what? What is it going to be called? Meta? Whatever the hell. I'll keep us all together. We will still be in touch. We'll still have our Orchard of Snark. That's not going anywhere. And if you still want to listen to the other million podcasts that I do every week, make sure you're tuning in. I have a link in the show notes. I do a weekly show with my co-host and best friend, Amanda. It is We Love to Hate Everything. It's free. You can listen to it. We're talking about everything this week. We decided that we're going to put a list together of our Desert Island TV series, the shows that we could watch on a loop that we would never get tired of. You know, we always got something going on over there. So check it out. We also have We Love to Hate TV, which is on Patreon, but there's different levels. So if you're tight on cash, you can check that out. Right now we're doing Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and we're diving into awesome vintage MTV True Life episodes. Last week we did True Life, I Have an Embarrassing Medical Condition. This week we are doing I Have a Fetish. So yeah, check that out. It's going to be really good. I think I'm going to request the True Life, I'm an Adult Baby, because I mean, come on. I could tell you one thing. We have a lot of 90 Day Fiancé people that would definitely fit into that category. I know some of our weirdest people, Paul, probably Steven, who I'll be talking about in just a minute, they got some adult baby energy for sure. We also have Total Request Podcast, where you request the shows, we watch them, diss them, snark on them. So get into that. But I'm not trying to plug everything. I'm just trying to say I am only a play button away. I'm not going anywhere. You complete me, and I probably don't complete you, but maybe I help you complete tasks along the way during the day. You're cleaning, you need something stupid to listen to, and hey, I'm someone stupid that you can listen to. So there you go. All right, now let's talk about some crazy stuff that's happening lately. Hillary Taylor Baldwin. Yes, you know, the one who was raised in not Spain. Well, this bitch has really forgotten, kind of like Chrissy Teigen, that she caused a stir and that she was called out as a fraud. And she's back in, tripled down. Now, I was listening to Dr. Death season 3. The reason Hilaria came up was because there's an episode called Barcelona, My Love. And it just made me want to go into the depths of Reddit, or at least as deep as I know Reddit goes, because I really suck at it, and go back into all of the archives from the beginning. Now, I highly encourage you to go onto Reddit. You can figure it out if I can. I just Google it. I don't even know if I have an account, to be honest. No idea. I think I set one up one time and I can't sign back in. You don't have to. There is a subreddit. Tony, one of my listeners and friends, had to kind of school me on the lingo. There's a subreddit just called Hilaria Baldwin. Look it up. These women know this chick story inside out, upside down. It's incredible. And it's really not just the superficial thing, like her faking a personality, faking a culture, faking a lifestyle. They really go into what the hell is going on with that family. So they have 6 kids together. The first one, Carmen, she definitely gave birth to. And again, I'm learning this all from the experts with PhDs in Baldwinism. She was pregnant with Carmen. But people have done some deep dives, compared photos, comparing bellies, all these different things, like down to nail polish color. It's wild, but also fascinating and addicting. She allegedly has faked the other 4 pregnancies, because if you remember, her last 2 babies were like, I don't know, 5 months apart. And allegedly, supposedly, she gave birth to one and then obviously a surrogate for the youngest baby. I want to say that's Mary Lou. All right. So remember where she had like a bunch of miscarriages? I'm not going to discount that at all, because whether she was carrying those babies or the surrogate miscarried, my heart goes out to both of them. Obviously, as you know, I was a surrogate 2 times. No shame in that. I mean, the more people talk about it, the more normal it is. However you want to build a family, great. Love is love. Share it. But the weird and kind of gross thing is that she posts in so much detail, down to her oldest daughter, who I want to say is maybe, I don't know, like 8 or 9 right now. So this was like a year or 2 ago. She was taking an Instagram live of her daughter, like comforting her as she's bawling and crying about this miscarriage. And that just gets really, it's almost like she's making her daughter perform. And I don't think little Carmen, I can't believe I just thought about this. So my first Suro baby, her name is actually Carmen, and they're actually from Spain. Her dad's live in Valencia, so they're actually Spanish, like real Espanol. How did I never make that connection? Probably because my Suro dads are really Spanish and they're good people, and I don't want to put them in the same thought category as Hillary. All that to say, yeah, it's crazy. She makes her kids perform for the camera, makes her daughter comfort and console her when she's saying, I'm actively having a miscarriage. Again, this is all allegedly, but I will say, for someone who has body image issues and who is constantly thinking about what do I look like, my weight, I can say if I were pregnant, or even now, I'm well past having kids, seeing a woman with a teeny tiny body saying, if you just do yoga and stretch, you can have this body too. Like, it's not that outrageous. Oh, just go for a long run once a week through New York City. Probably like Kelly Bensimone running in the middle of the street. That's exactly how I picture her, with those stupid huge headphones of hers. That is really destructive to women's self-esteem who are watching this, being like, how does this woman with 6 kids, how does she have this tiny little figure? And yeah, she's got nannies and all that kind of stuff. But if the whole idea of her not having 5 kids in and out of that teeny tiny body is true, that just sucks for women who are looking at her. And even if they don't like her, if it's like a hate watch like I'm doing, I don't follow her, you guys. I don't stoop to that level. I just type in her name every time I want to look. It can be a real mind fuck. That's all I want to say about the pregnancy body thing. But there's more I want to say about it, Eladia. So hopefully you enjoy this. All right. So yes, they go to Vermont. And Hillary says it was her idea because she wanted to escape the city to make sure that Alec doesn't have too much PTSD. Like, she's going to nurse him back to mental health after this horribly stressful and traumatic week for him. Now, of course, what does one have to do when you escape from the city to Vermont? you have to buy a Vermont wardrobe. So naturally, they go and they get their flannels, they get their plaids, and then they go rent out a restaurant because privacy, please, right? Oh, and I guess I should mention that when they were fleeing New York, they were covering the kids' faces so the paparazzi couldn't take pictures of the kids. Okay, well, we've seen your kids half naked on your naked body, so I don't really think you need to cover your kids' faces. We all know what they look like. We don't even want to know what they look like, but we do. So that was just stupid. And then for all this privacy that they need to make sure that Alec doesn't have PTSD, where do they sit in the restaurant? Right in the window. There's like a huge bay window, and you can see the two of them. And the way they're sitting is so ridiculous. Instead of, you know, facing like their belly up to the bar, they're sitting at a bar area, which is kind of weird. Again, if you're renting out a restaurant for the two of you to have drinks and have dinner, you're going to go and sit up at the bar, like where the bartender would walk in and out. It's like the weirdest place even at the bar. You'd be sitting in some comfy booth or something, but no, they're sitting up at the bar. They have their backs towards the window, but then they're turning towards each other in the seats so that the paparazzi outside can see it's them. Just the way that they're positioning and talking to each other. If you're sitting up at the bar, you don't turn fully towards each other so that you're face to face. You're still leaning, you know, on the bar, having your drink, eating your meal. But no, these two have to be seen. They have to be seen grieving, right? And then they leave with their drinks. Rent out the whole restaurant and then leave with the drinks. So, blah, whatever. I hate them. They probably really screwed over those servers, too, who didn't get all their tips for the night. Very typical Baldwin. It's no surprise that I love to do a deep dive. I can find anything you want, from who your blind date is going to be to what reality show spoiler is next or which companies are legit to order from. Ritual is the real deal. And not only do I, my husband, kids, and my mom take Ritual multivitamins every day, now we're adding their essential protein to our lives on a regular basis. Ritual is a company you know you can trust, having multivitamins and protein mixes for every stage of life. I've been making my trademark latte hack almost every day after my workouts in the morning because it's a simple, clean way to add 20 grams of protein without added sugars and fillers to fill those gaps in my diet. Protein powders at the grocery store are really intimidating to me. I don't know what all the numbers are. I don't want to bulk up when I'm just trying to be healthier. And that's why Ritual's Essential Protein is perfect for someone like me. I want a delicious, clean taste for someone my age, and I don't want a ton of chemicals, and most of all, it's got to be affordable. So let's break this down. Ritual offers three premium formulations for distinct life stages and unique nutrient needs. There's daily shakes for 18 plus, 50 plus, and pregnancy and postpartum. Now, like I mentioned before, I have my mom taking Ritual multivitamins, and now she's throwing in a scoop or two into her juices she makes with her juicer every day, and it's all the protein essentials she needs and you need that are scientifically formulated for your life stage. But no matter what your age or activity level, you will always know what you are putting in your body. Ritual is 100% transparent with their sourcing, and they use only quality ingredients without any fillers. They have high standards for their products, which I definitely appreciate as a repeat customer. So why not shake up your ritual? To make trying something new less scary, Ritual offers a money-back guarantee if you're not 100% in love. Plus, my listeners get 10% off during your first 3 months. Just visit ritual.com/realityv to add essential protein today. That's ritual.com/realityv. All right, so now, in the middle of me reading through all these Reddit things, I read in, it might have been an LA Times article, I'm not sure, that there were many red flags on the set, but one of them that stood out the most is that someone had actually shot themselves in the foot maybe the day before, maybe 2 days before the shooting. So this is actually the second time someone has accidentally shot themselves or shot someone else. All that aside, what had happened to Helena is the most tragic thing, and that's what needs to be kept in everyone's minds. But from the Baldwin camp, it sure seems like they're giving a lot of energy to making Alec the true victim here. Because after they went to this bar, after they are seen with the kids in their car, they see that there's some paparazzi following them. There is Alec Baldwin in the middle of the street talking to some of the paparazzi saying, "My lawyers have told me I cannot comment on anything because it's an ongoing investigation. I am not supposed to comment, but we were good friends. I took her to dinner the night before." And then Hillary comes out and she's got her phone and she's doing like the, "I'm taking pictures of you, paparazzi," like she's turning it around on them. And she comes in screaming. She's like, "Her name was Helena." No accent, by the way. No accent. She is screaming, "Her name is Helena and you should know what her name is." And then Alec gives her like a, "Would you shut the fuck up? Like, back up. Let me do the talking." Interesting. For a couple that has been told by their attorneys, don't say anything, don't talk, doesn't it strike you a bit odd that they're going to pull over to intentionally talk to paparazzi and not one of them, but both of them can't wait to get their faces on camera and talk, 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 talk? And then at the end, after Hillary tries jumping in at least twice that I remember, taping the whole time with her stupid phone because she's always going to have her phone in her hands, then Alec says, just the kicker, "You know, my kids, they're in the car right now and they're crying." Okay, well, they're in the car probably crying to their nannies. "Can you just take off because our parents are attention whores? Let's get the hell out of here." It just makes no sense that I think he's trying, I should say. He's trying to make it seem like he's heartbroken and he's thinking of Helena's husband and her son. But you know what, guys? You know what's most important? My kids are in the car crying right now. Well, then why'd you stop the freaking car, Alec? They are such hypocrites and attention whores. It's disgusting. And it gets worse. On Halloween, the day of Helena's funeral, where her husband and young son are mourning the sudden loss of their wife and mother, this bitch Hillary has the gall, the idiocy, is that a word? The ridiculousness to post photos of herself and the kids and Alec all dressed up for Halloween. And here's the caption. And then I'm going to tell you what she dressed up as. "Parenting through this has been an intense experience, to say the least. Today we rallied to give them a holiday. Last minute costumes, a little hodgepodge, but they were so happy and that warmed my mama heart. Happy Halloween from the Baldwinitos. They give us love. We send you love and a jack-o'-lantern." And she really did say the Baldwinitos. I'm not making that up. So guess what they dressed up as? It's so adorable. Hillary and her oldest daughter dressed up as Black Widows. Yeah, you got that right. After there's actually a man who is now a widow because his wife died, and the fact that you're like, "Oh, we managed to pull together a holiday for our young kids. Poor them. It's so hard for us. It's such a stressful time." Well, first of all, it certainly doesn't look hodgepodge because Alec has got, I don't know what it is, like a troll costume. I mean, they're all pretty elaborate costumes. Hillary and Carmen's costumes are matching, so I'm sure that wasn't just pulled up from a catalog. It looks like designer gowns, matching headbands. Oh, and one of the babies has a matching thing too. So bullshit, you just threw it together. Sure doesn't look like they're grieving or going through PTSD. Like, wouldn't the best thing to do right now would be to just go dark? Have people imagine or hope that you're grieving or keeping Helena and her family in mind. Like, maybe post a link to, there was a scholarship that's set up in Helena's name. Maybe just don't post anything on Halloween, especially don't be a black fucking widow. I mean, I cannot believe what the hell is going on. Oh, and there's, of course, a touching photo of Hillary holding Alec's hand, and it looks like they're laying in bed or something, and the caption is, "I love you and I am here." Well, you know who's not here? Helena, and her son doesn't have a mom anymore. I mean, it's just in your face, like, "Oh, poor Alec. I'm saving him from PTSD," and it's such bullshit. And I'm just repeating myself over and over again because it's so insane. But I will tell you, if you want to start like some sort of, is there like a subgroup to our Facebook group for people who want to talk about this Hilaria Baldwin nonsense. Let's do it. Otherwise, someone teach me the ways of Reddit and we can just all meet up over there because, man, something's got to be done. So let's just move on from that because I don't want to go into gun control because I'll probably alienate some of you guys, but probably not if you've been listening to me this long. Now, speaking of monsters, let's talk about Steven and Alina. This guy is one of the worst guys who's been on 90 Day Fiancé. And that's saying a lot because we have like Paul. We have the dude that is now in prison. What the hell is his name? Jeffrey. Oh, and by the way, his girlfriend, the one that was on the show with him, she set up a GoFundMe to try to help him get out of prison. And the comments on that one, woo, scathing. They're like, yeah, why don't you get a job to raise money to get him out of prison? But she's like, haters. Anyhow, that's saying a lot that Steven is in the company of men like that. I truly think Steven is a sociopath. He has zero ability to do any sort of self-reflection. The love bombing he's doing with Alina is textbook to the extent that this could be played in any middle school, high school, if you're teaching kids about healthy relationships, which actually my kids' school is doing, which bravo, every school should be doing, teaching kids signs of unhealthy intimate relationships. Love that. This is totally an example because he will do something wrong like, oh, I don't know, talk to other girls on social media. And Alina is seeing this, knows that he's an asshole. And then he just turns it around and is like, oh, well, I got you a Book of Mormon with flowers on it. I deleted it because I love you. Flowers. Oh, well, I'll take the whole bunch. Here you go. So a girl like Alina, who doesn't exactly see Steven for what he is, which is disgusting and repulsive inside and out. And she thinks, well, I can't be that mad at him because look, he's doing all this for me. He wouldn't do all this if he didn't love me. What she sees in him physically, I have no idea. And call me superficial, but if I were to meet someone like Steven, I would instantly be like, nope, it's not going to happen. It's not a match. And I think that's allowed. Like some people are just not attractive to certain people. I'm sure my face, you're like, oh yeah, total horse face. I would never hook up with her. And that's fine. We all have different tastes. But I feel like Alina has maybe not had long-term relationships. I mean, I think she's even said that. But she could do better. Like, look at Steven, the way he drinks like a, how I imagine like a lizard would. I don't know, because I don't like reptiles. I've never studied them. I don't want to know. But that tongue licking thing, and he's always got like extra spit in his mouth and he kind of speaks out the side of his mouth. It's disgusting. Just imagine kissing him. I feel like he would be one of those tongue pokers. Like he doesn't exactly know how to kiss, but it's like poke, poke, poke. And then having sex with him, ew. He would do like a giggle laugh, you know, where his voice cracks, where he's like, oh, God, it would be nasty. I don't think there would be a whole lot of, okay, I'm going to get gross here for a second, but I have to get it out of my system and vent this out with someone. I feel like it would be gentle 1-2 thrust, and then he would just like shake and vibrate, and then it'd just be done. And then he'd giggle. And then she'd just be left lying there. That is her life. That is the life she has chosen to have. She will never be properly penetrated. I hate to say it. That's not me at all. I'm a super prude. But even I know this sort of information. And then that proposal. I almost called him Paul. This was all about Steven. It was about making Steven feel like he was doing something amazing. Wow, look at him. He's so romantic. He's so talented. I think he thinks he loves Alina, and I think he thinks he did it all about her, but really, he loved being in the spotlight there. He is going to love how Alina talks about the proposal. I thought it was disgusting. The fact that his voice is like a soprano when I'm an alto, I could not even keep a straight face. Watching that was just as painful as watching the scenes with Sumit's parents that we're going to talk about because, whoa, there's just something very Paul-esque about Steven. Like those two would make probably best friends.
And Paul, oh God.
Can we just talk about him for just a moment? Do you guys know that he is on, I want to say OnlyFans or some sort of money-making site? Because of course he is, because Paul will never get a job. But he and Carini perform for a living. Like, that's how they make their money. And there were some posts that I know everyone was talking about, so I might as well just mention it here. There was a post about him asking viewers if they would like to see Carini peg him. I mean, I think all of us would like to see Paul pegged, but not in that way. Maybe like in the head, really hard, knock some sense into him. It's real, real dark. And I think she's pregnant again. It's yikes. And there's something about his mom not wanting to see him or the kids. I'm sure his mom would like to see the kids and like to run her fingers through their hair, but she probably just doesn't have extra money to give Paul because, you know, that's the only reason Paul would ever go around his mom. All that to say, Steven is disgusting, and I'm going to put a little trigger warning here for underage content. Steven has had several DMs that are being shared and sent around that he was contacting underage girls online, sliding into their DMs, asking them for pictures, showing them pictures of himself, saying that he's masturbating, looking at their pictures, and even going so far as to make the girls or request that these girls do Mary Brown things to bananas and pretending that it's his skittermarinky dinky dink or whatever the hell he calls it. Like, he is a disgusting, terrible human being. And I hope for two things. Number one, that Alina wakes up and sees all these different things that are coming out about him and decide that maybe going to America with him, being married to him, is not worth it, or that she could at least find another guy, even in this franchise, better than him. And number two, I really want Sharp Entertainment and TLC, I'm not holding my breath for this to ever happen, to do a little bit more research, background checks, and follow through on firing people if these things have been found out, which TLC and Sharper Entertainment are aware of, according to my very reliable sources that I'm seeing on Reddit and on different sites that are sharing 90 Day Fiancé news. But, you know, TLC, they're making money on it. They're not going to follow through. They're not going to fire this guy. I guarantee they're going to be on another season because this first season was pretty good for them in a gross, disgusting way, of course. All right. Now, speaking of small skidamarinky dinks, shall we talk about the tragedy that is going on in India with Sumit and Jenny? I'm not going to say I ever thought Jenny was a particularly smart woman, but now she is willingly making herself the village idiot of her own life story. First of all, I guess I should say that even Seth Rogen tweeted, Sumit is straight up horny for that his mother moved into his house, and he couldn't be more right. He just hit the nail on the head. Sumit is way more into his mommy and has some mommy issues. I mean, obviously, hence why he is with an older woman. He loves the torture that Jenny is going through. I mean, Jenny's just slow and she's not picking up on anything. Remember when she thought Sumit's mom was being very kind to her and nice to her in the kitchen? And really, she was like, God, you're stupid and useless. You don't know how to do anything. And Jenny's like, she's laughing in her stupid laugh. I would have even assumed that that person was saying something to me. Like, I swear I was in a nail salon with my friend when I was 13. I went to go visit this friend of mine right after eighth grade. She moved to New York City and I went to go visit her. And this is the first time I've ever told anyone this, so might as well just do it now. It still haunts me to this day. We went to the nail salon because her mom was getting her nails done and she was like, okay, girls, you get your nails done too. And it was like, I don't know, a tiny little nail shop run by these Asian women that were doing nails. And we were just getting our nails painted, like nothing fancy. And this woman who was doing mine looked at me and she said to me like, oh, big. And all of them started laughing. And I was like, laughing with them. Well, obviously, I knew they were calling me like some fat American teenage girl. And I was laughing along with it. But even I had the knowledge at 13 to be like, what's going on here is that they don't like me. Jenny, at how old? 50-ish? Question mark, maybe in 60s. She wasn't even picking that up with a woman that was supposedly her best friend before, which I don't understand because it seems like they don't understand the same language at all. Or Sumit's mom does understand English and she's playing the same dumb that Jenny actually is. Fall is a super busy time of year. The days are shorter, the holidays are creeping up, kids have homework they need help with, and you just want to sit down and relax for the night after a long day. But oh wait, it's dinner time again. I have two words for you. Hello Fresh. I am telling you, just ordering two meals a week has made my life so much easier and saved me time searching for new recipes on Pinterest every weekend, only to go buy the same freaking stuff at the store every week. So if you're like, yeah, that sounds like a lot of money, and I don't want meals delivered every single week, I don't want to tie myself into that, let me explain. Number one, HelloFresh actually lowered my grocery bill. Hand to God, I have receipts. And two, you decide how many meals you want and how often you want them delivered fresh to your door. There are meals for everyone, every diet, every palate. You get to pick the meals you want, from takeout favorites like chicken satay to low carb or low cal meals, which are perfect for the diabetics or keto goers in your life, and even one pot meals to make dinner the easiest part of your day. This week, I'm making Firehouse cheeseburgers with fried onions on top and oven fries. Yum. And later this week, I'm going to make a special treat for us, a surf and turf steak and shrimp with garlic rice and roasted zucchini. Oh, God, I can't wait. But no way in hell would I be able to throw any of this together on my own. HelloFresh makes it easy because everything is pre-measured, minimal packaging waste, and it's incredibly fresh. So don't feel like you have to make your meals on delivery day. And now is the time to try HelloFresh if you haven't before. Maybe you have guests coming in for the holidays and you need or want to impress them. Take a load off, let HelloFresh handle it while making you look like top chef, okay? There's a reason HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. So go to HelloFresh.com/realityTV14 and use code realityTV14 for up to 14 free meals, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/realityTV14 for up to 14 free meals with free shipping. Hit that link in the show notes. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Now, Sumit is also a monster, hates Jenny, and loves that his mom is being a complete bitch to Jenny. And I do not side with Sumit's mom here, which seems to be a very unpopular opinion according to Instagram and Twitter. People really like Sumit's mom. Like, oh yeah, she's just savage. Look at, she's just telling Jenny like it is, and Jenny's such an idiot. Well, yeah, Jenny is just being ignorantly blissful, if that makes sense. But his mom doesn't have any right to be treating anyone in that household like a fool. She's just being a bitch because she can. She can get away with it because Sumit's dad isn't saying anything. Sumit isn't saying anything. They're assholes. His family sucks. And you can chalk some of it up to culture, sure. But just like I think Binyam's sisters can be real bitchy, I think his family can be real bitchy. They're jerks. They're treating someone like that in their own home, and that is unforgivable. Also unforgivable, barging into Jenny's room when she's laying there, whether she really had diarrhea or not, I don't want to know. And I don't want to know that Sumit's mom can just have 6 or 7 bouts of diarrhea and then hop on up and manhandle some dough. I don't want to know about anyone's diarrhea. If I were Jenny, I would have faked sick. If she didn't really have diarrhea, I would have been on her side if she was faking sick. Because you know what? Obviously, Mother Sumit and Father Sumit don't like spending time with Jenny. So let's just call it a day. Call it a win-win on both sides. I don't have to see you. You don't have to see me. And we can all pretend Jenny's having diarrhea. Doesn't matter. The fact that they barged in her room and said, go upstairs and do yoga. Who the fuck are you? And what if Jenny did call their bluff? What if she tried to do a little backbend and something slipped out? Her stomach turned and she had to go running. Who's got shit on their face now? Exactly. But maybe they won't care because they can use a little mustard oil down their sinuses. Now, you know me, I love a good deep dive, and I'm actually really into like vitamins and looking into different supplements and all that kind of stuff. It's just a weird curiosity, probably because you can just like go down into a very deep and thorough Google search once you go into that stuff. So, of course, I got into this mustard oil thing. Well, turns out at the time that this was being filmed, like this was during COVID, I'm guessing like late 2020, right? Or even past that. If there was a thing going around from the like the Indian Municipal Air Quality, I don't know, some sort of air commission, that mustard oil would help prevent and or cure COVID. So that was a thing that was going on at the time, which obviously they have disproven. But there's also like yogi healers and the like that say mustard oil can help trap pollution in the air. Oh, wait, I think it was something like the New Delhi Air Commission. Maybe that's what it was. Anyhow, that's the whole mustard oil thing. But of course, there are a lot of people that are like, you can really jack up your sinuses with it. But hey, if that's your thing, go for it. But that's what the whole mustard oil thing is for. Now, the string, as someone who has had sinus surgery, obviously you hear my voice, I'm very nasally. I have a desperate need to clear things out in my own face. This string is from the Hatha Yoga School of Yoga, Medicine, Yogi, whatever. And it is a type of neti, like we all know neti pot, right? Well, this thing is called a sutra neti. It is an advanced form of yogic nasal cleansing. You can either use string or you can use a silicone tube, which looks like what his parents were using. And you are supposed to receive training and clearance by a certified medical professional or a very advanced trained yogi, which Sumit's mom said that she was. She's like a Ilaria, right? Ilaria Baldwin used to be a yogi master as well. So she tells Jenny to use this disgusting tube, the same tube that she and her husband were doing sharesies with their little booger string thing. You know, she thinks Jenny's gross for putting a tissue down on her plate, but they're going to swap booger silicone. You nasty. That's disgusting. She's just going to throw this at her, knowing a normal person can't go from never having done this to just sticking that tube down their throat. She knew that Jenny, there's no way that she could do that because there is like a whole thing where you have to build up to it, according to my very deep Google research. And by the way, for the record, Mother Sumit, you don't have to go sharesies with the tube. You can buy a pack of 10 on Amazon right now for $8.20. And that was just the first hit. There's lots of other sellers all over the place that are way cheaper than that. So the fact that they were going to share it tells me that his mom is full of shit, because wouldn't someone who wants everything so clean, who wants to clear out their sinuses so far as to put mustard oil and tubes down their face, wouldn't you not want to share that just with a little rinsing of water? I don't buy it. Ooh, you can do a backbend, but can you be a good person and be gracious in someone else's household? Yeah, that's what I thought. Now, speaking of other people's households or lack thereof, or tearing and breaking them down because you can't help but cheat on your fiance, Denny and Ari. It has been, what, a month since my last episode? And even in that episode, we had already learned about Avi's hernia. Well, now finally, a month later, he's finally gotten the hernia surgery back in the States, which I do think he could have gotten there. I understand if you want to have certain health care for your kids, but do I think it was absolutely necessary that she bring Avi here for the hernia surgery? No. And I'm speaking from personal experience. My son had one too. It's a quick procedure. The fact that she was in and out of that hospital in 5 hours or something like that, pretty damn good, because you figure getting set up and then your aftercare, the surgery is like 45 minutes an hour max. It probably took more time for Ari to get her horribly placed and filled lip filler than it did for Avi's surgery. I don't know what she was thinking with those lips, because now it's just every feature on her small face is massive. It looks terrible. But all that aside, let's just talk about their relationship. I'm totally torn because I personally would be pissed if I had to leave the country with the kids and I'm trying to get a hold of Dave and he's not picking up. Of course, I would be really pissed off. But on the other hand, in Binny's defense, if she were to be leaving for what she said, like 2 weeks, okay, I don't think it's that outrageous if he was going out with his friends during those 2 weeks. What else is he supposed to be doing? Sitting home, twiddling his thumbs, calling her all the time? She would probably be very annoyed, like, oh my God, Binyam, I'm with my family. Why are you calling me all the time? I'm right here. You don't trust me. So I think it's fine that he was going out. It is a little weird that he folded up the pack and play and put things away. Maybe I'm just playing devil's advocate and I don't totally take his side here because I do think he cheated on her. It's possible that a pack and play is portable. Yes, a pack and play. Maybe he moved it because he had buddies spending the night, which I think would be fine. Now, what we're hearing is that he's turning it into a party house. He's having girls over. He's having his friends pretty much move in and they've made it a recording studio. And we're getting this information, or Ari's getting this information, from Binyam's sister. I don't know whether I totally believe Wish, because Wish hates Ari. They're like frenemies. She really doesn't have Ari's best interest in mind. So I think she's wanting to kind of stir the pot. She wants to put a wedge between Ari and Binny. But I don't think Wish is that smart, because I don't think she's thought one more step ahead. Like, oh, well, if Ari breaks up with him, we won't see our nephew anymore and my brother's going to be hurt. I think Wish just really likes the drama. She loves stirring shit up. Now, Ari, I mean, why has she been there? What did it say, like 2 months or something? It doesn't take 2-3 months to schedule out a hernia surgery. And wouldn't that be something that you would perhaps schedule ahead of time? Before you booked the tickets? Why isn't Binyam asking her that? Why didn't you set the date and then get it sooner besides 2-3 months into your visit? But then again, it's probably because Binyam's not that bright, or maybe he really didn't care, although I think he did. So here's again where I'm torn. Binyam should know better. He's been through this exact same scenario. The son that lives in the States now with his ex-wife had some medical issue, and that was the reason that she came here and didn't go back. So this is repeating history all over again. So shame on him if this is exactly what happened last time, which it looks like it is. But also shame on Ari for not being totally honest. Why didn't she just say, I want to go visit my family with the baby? They haven't met him. They haven't seen him. I'm going to go visit for a month or two. But she didn't. She did it under the guise of he has to have surgery there and it's urgent that he go get it. So we're leaving in 2 days for 2 weeks. And she knew she wasn't going to be going back in 2 weeks. So they both just suck. They're both very immature and that's their problem. And now it's all of our problem because they're going to be on every single TLC show now or every single 90 Day Fiancé show. And there are a couple more versions of 90 Day Fiancé coming up. I think it's 90 Day Fiancé still the other way or before the 90 days. I have it on somewhat good authority that the little person, like that woman and her boyfriend, I want to say he has like a ponytail or something, that's going to be one to watch. So keep your eyes out for that one. And then there's also some sort of like Caribbean Love edition that should be good too. Feels is the better way to feel better. Want to clear your head or reduce anxiety, pain, or relieve sleeplessness? Feels Premium CBD has been my go-to for so long now. I can't imagine not having it as an option for when I'm feeling a little stressed or frazzled. The world of CBD can be confusing, but once I checked out Feels and talked to them personally, I felt a hell of a lot better about trying it, using it, and now singing its praises. First of all, you need to know that Feels is a premium CBD that's sourced, grown, and bottled right here in the US. Second, Feels takes a more effective approach by delivering a full spectrum or whole plant CBD that contains all forms of cannabinoid available in the plant, which is considered to be much more effective than isolate CBD. If you're just trying Feels out, I'd recommend the Flight of Three Different Strengths. It's just $20, but if you know your way around it, go for it. I personally find the 24 400 milligram helpful if I can't sleep, but also if I'm super stressed and need a little calming kick in the pants. I just put a few drops under my tongue and within about 10, 15 minutes, I can feel the difference. I still feel like myself, but I'm alert minus the existential crisis mode going on inside. And if you're thinking about holiday shopping, check out the Good Feels Kit. It's a limited edition kit with 100% of net proceeds donated to Painted Brain, an LA-based mental health nonprofit focused on group art therapy. I gave each of my nieces a kit a couple months ago after they moved, and they love it because it comes with a bright tote bag that they use all the time. So start feeling better with Feels. Become a member today by going to feels.com/realityTV and you'll get 40% off your first 3 months with free shipping. That's feals.com/realityTV to become a member and get 40% automatically taken off your first 3 months with free shipping. That's feels.com/realityTV. Before I say goodbye and wrap up this episode, I have some very important news to discuss with you, and that is the one and only Audj and Jer. Yes, Audrey and Jeremy Roloff, the one and only assholes who are very Hilaria Baldwin to me. There's just something looking at their face that I hate, and they're obnoxious, and they try to do this picture-perfect life on the prairie, all shades of amber and creams and browns on their Instagram. Go and look at her Instagram. Just search, I want to say it's like Audj Podge or something obnoxious. But listen, they are going to be having their third kid any moment, any day now. Now, we know the first baby was baby Ember. Pregnancy number two, they had Bodhi because that was her maiden name. And she will frequently remind you that her cousin is Chris Bodhi, the, I don't know, clarinetist, cello, violin, saxophone, some sort of instrument he plays, and he's very popular. But now I can't like him because he's related to her. So blame Audrey. So now they are going to have their third baby. They don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl. So here are my boy names. River, which I think could actually be girl or boy, because, you know, they like nature-y, they like biblical things like the river of Jesus of Babylon fed the ember flames, whatever. So River, I think, could be either. Stone, little Stone Phillips action. Clay, that might be a little too normal for them, though. Bear, Bear's becoming a little popular, though. Then I was thinking North or West, because that's the region of the country that they live in. But, I mean, North, now people can't do North because, you know, Kardashians. West, I don't know, maybe like a Weston, but they call him West because we loved the West pirate ship on the farm. And then Forest, Hawk with an E, because I feel like there could be some sort of he's our final baby delivering God's message from the sky heavens down to us. And then this last one is just a biblical vibe, Abel, because he is able to deliver the good word to his family, which he will fill because he must be heterosexual and the man of his household when he grows up. All right, now my girl name predictions. Ruby, only because during the first pregnancy with Ember, they would always refer to Ruby, like females are the ruby in God's thy kingdom. They would quote a lot of Ruby shit. So I think that's a possibility. Ruby, Pearl, along the same lines. Autumn, because she will have been born in the autumn. Or maybe they name her Winter because she was conceived out of love and the Lord's righteous kingdom during the winter. All right, so Ruby, Pearl, Autumn. I'm going to throw Winter in there. Then, of course, we have to go with some foliage. So I'm going to say Fern or Ivy. I could also see Prairie because they're wearing prairie dresses in all of the latest maternity photos, because naturally everyone knows that Audrey has to do a maternity photo shoot every month of her pregnancy. Then I'm going to throw out a wren, W-R-E-N, kind of the same thing, like the wren is from the rib of the male hawk of the Bible, delivering to the precious women's folk. You know what I'm talking about. Willow and olive, I think, are some healthy choices, but they might be a little bit too common for them. And then the last one I'm going to throw out is perhaps a little nod to my arch nemesis, Megan King Edmonds, who is married into the Biden family. Fuck off, Megan. Her daughter named Aspen. I think that may be a possibility because they're like mountainy, naturey people. So I think Aspen is also a strong contender. So let's keep our eyes and ears out for baby number three of the Roloff clan. And let's discuss, because, you know, I can't wait for that birth story. And maybe that'll be an extra special episode, because we're definitely going to get a long podcast episode about that one. That does it for this week. I'll be back in a couple weeks. Make sure you check out We Love to Hate Everything and We Love to Hate TV and Total Request Podcast. Check the show notes for all of those links. And until next time, get your booster, get your vaccine, wear a damn mask, take care of yourself, and stay salty.